What if the wealthiest person you know is actually broke? Picture a therapist's office where executives earning seven figures confess they feel financially insecure, while down the hall, someone living paycheck to paycheck radiates contentment. This isn't a thought experiment. It's the paradox that launched a decade-long investigation into what wealth actually means. When the 2008 financial crisis turned the economy upside down, one question became impossible to ignore. Why do some people feel rich with little, while others feel poor with plenty? The answer has nothing to do with spreadsheets and everything to do with psychology. True prosperity begins not in your bank account, but in your mind, shaped by childhood lessons, daily choices, and the courage to bet on yourself even when the odds seem stacked against you. Long before we earn our first dollar, we inherit something more powerful than money, a belief system about what we deserve and what's possible. Consider Leticia, growing up in a San Antonio barrio where opportunity seemed as distant as the horizon. Her family had no wealth to pass down, but they gave her something better, an unshakable conviction in her own worth. When her father redirected compliments about her appearance to praise her academic achievements, he was programming her internal software. When her mother insisted college wasn't optional, she was installing ambition as the default setting. When her grandmother took her along to make business loan payments, she was teaching that dignity means honoring your word. The pivotal moment came in eighth grade when boys told Leticia she couldn't run for student council president because of her gender. Instead of shrinking, she expanded, becoming the first female president and eventually a Texas state senator. Her success wasn't despite her circumstances, but because of the values planted in modest soil. Every family operates like an operating system, running programs in the background that shape how we think about money, risk, and possibility. Some systems are infected with fear and scarcity. Others run on confidence and abundance. Barack Obama's story mirrors this truth, raised by a single mother with limited resources, yet programmed by her and his grandparents with sky-high expectations and self-belief. The code you're running matters more than the hardware you started with. Prosperity isn't about having wealth, it's about believing you're worthy of creating it. Colonial Americans would consider your life unimaginably luxurious, yet you probably don't feel wealthy. In the 1600s, wealth meant land and food security. The Industrial Revolution enabled fortune through business rather than birthright. Henry Ford democratized mobility with the Model T. Consumer credit arrived in the 1920s, and suddenly 75% of cars were purchased on installment plans. Today's middle-class American lives in a home twice the size of their 1970s counterpart, owns multiple cars, enjoys high-speed internet, and still feels others have more. The world's wealthiest cities don't house the happiest people. That honor goes to places like Boulder, Colorado, where economic prosperity is modest, but life satisfaction soars. The advertising industry bombards us with 5,000 daily messages designed to make us feel inadequate, perpetually chasing a finish line that keeps moving. Without knowing what you actually want, you'll end up living someone else's dream. Marcus was born into privilege, groomed to inherit his father's business, but something felt wrong. He moved to California for nonprofit work that paid modestly but fed his soul. That meaningful experience later positioned him to transform an organic foods company, eventually selling it for millions. Tony's story flips the script. Growing up in dysfunction, he observed his unhappy father and decided early, "I'm not going to be like this." He devoured personal development books, retrained his thinking, and pursued success as liberation. Both achieved financial success, but more importantly, they achieved freedom. Marcus from expectations that didn't fit, Tony from limitations that didn't belong. True prosperity isn't about reaching some arbitrary number. It's about defining what enough means for you and having the consciousness to recognize when you've arrived. Self-esteem precedes wealth, not the reverse. Even lottery winners feel unworthy when money arrives without internal foundation. It functions as your psychological immune system, resilient with it, fragile without it. Real self-esteem comes from meaningful accomplishment, not affirmations. Lenny exemplifies this. Despite financial struggles and disappointments, she persisted, joining a real estate law firm where her talent was recognized. Within 2 years, she became lead attorney and part owner. Transformation happened because she shelved self-doubt and took consistent action. Strategic self-investments accelerate growth, whether buying a tailored suit for interviews or upgrading work equipment. These declarations of self-worth reshape perception. Nathan transformed from off-key singer to successful touring vocalist through confidence and persistence. Small improvements compound into extraordinary results. A racehorse winning by a nose receives 10 times the prize money, not because it's 10 times faster, but because extra training created a slight edge with outsized rewards. Your self-esteem works identically. Daily investments compound into transformation. This confidence foundation determines not just income, but how you handle, grow, and experience money. Without internal wealth, external riches feel hollow. With it, even modest means feel abundant. Every sardine sandwich you eat is one you made yourself. This humorous truth reveals we often feel trapped in circumstances we could change by taking responsibility. Viktor Frankl showed that even in Auschwitz, we can choose our response, a freedom that later helped millions. The 2008 financial crisis resulted from countless individual decisions that collectively created catastrophe. If individual decisions created the problem, individual decisions can solve it. Priscilla's story demonstrates this. After divorce damaged her credit and job loss left her struggling, she consolidated debts, created a budget, and rebuilt her credit. Though not living lavishly, she regained control. Your life reflects your choices, conscious and unconscious. The key is developing mindfulness, pausing to consider what you're doing and why. This consciousness transforms your relationship with money from reactive to intentional, from victim to architect. Every financial decision becomes an opportunity to reinforce the life you're building rather than undermining it through autopilot spending. Warren Buffett said it best, "Price is what you pay, value is what you get." This distinction separates prosperity thinking from poverty thinking. Consider Benny, a retiree who borrowed to attend a reenactment honoring his grandfather, murdered in 1938 while protecting U.S. currency. Though living modestly, this decision gave him independence and deepened his family connection, personal value far exceeding monetary cost. Credit facilitates prosperity when used consciously. It enables investments that build wealth, car repairs for better employment, or appliances that free time for education. The problem isn't credit itself, but unconscious use. Credit cards create false prosperity through mindless swiping, with compounding interest and minimum payment traps leading to amounts far exceeding original borrowing. Traditional installment loans encourage responsible borrowing for specific goals. The face-to-face application requires conscious decision-making, unlike unconscious card spending. Tennessee State Representative Johnny Shaw purchased a radio station using an installment loan. If you stick with what you value and follow your dreams, you too can learn from life. Approach every borrowing decision with full awareness of its purpose, cost, and impact. Debt used to create opportunity, build skills, or invest in income-producing assets becomes a prosperity tool. Debt used to maintain appearances or fund lifestyle inflation becomes an anchor. True prosperity means having enough to share. Giving raises self-esteem and responsibility, while paradoxically opening doors for your own abundance. Generosity offers the chance to experience real wealth, a life of richness and fulfillment beyond bank balances. History offers stark contrasts. Russell Sage once used his clerk as a human shield during an assassination attempt. Hetty Green refused proper medical care for her son, who lost his leg. Financial abundance without generosity creates wasted treasure and joyless lives. In 1917, German host Herr Rosenau welcomed American soldier Alex Lurie for Sabbath dinner. 21 years later, as Nazi persecution intensified, Rosenau's daughter found Lurie's forgotten thank you letter and wrote seeking help. Now wealthy, Lurie sponsored the entire family's 1938 immigration to America, saving them from the Holocaust. all because of one generous act with no expectation of return. True generosity means empowering others constructively, offering a hand up rather than just a handout. Give freely, receive with gratitude, and watch abundance return many times over. Prosperity isn't a destination you reach at 65. It's a way of experiencing life right now. Dennis Garden proves this profoundly. At 14, he suffered severe burns over 70% of his body, rescuing a friend from a motorcycle explosion. After 8 months hospitalized and 50 surgeries, he hid at home for 2 years, wanting to die. When cruel treatment at school nearly broke him, Dennis developed a transformative practice, counting daily mistreatments, then saying, "I love me," in the mirror 10 times that number each night. Eventually, he believed it. As his self-perception changed, others' reactions improved. 23 years later, he found his purpose supporting other burn victims, defining wealth as having a life of purpose and being able to fulfill that purpose. True prosperity means bringing consciousness to decisions, discovering what's meaningful, feeling grateful, practicing generosity, and accepting responsibility. The psychology of wealth isn't about accumulating money. It's about developing the mindset that allows you to experience abundance regardless of your bank account.